The first reading today is Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 21, and you'll find it in the church Bible on page 1161 if you would like to follow it. These verses are from the Ministry of Reconciliation. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading may be found on page 1006 in the church Bibles. It is taken from the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 4. Beginning to read at verse 21. Jesus said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth, yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we pray that as the seeds are scattered on the ground, so your word will be scattered and spread abroad among us, and that we may have life in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. Ambassadors for Christ. We are going to be looking mainly at the first reading, which was on page 1161, and read to us by Fran. Thank you very much for those readings. Now, ambassadors for Christ. I was thinking about this and wondering if you were going to set up an international marketing campaign, you probably would not choose four fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, two skeptical academics, Bartholomew and Thomas, one corrupt civil servant, Matthew, one local jihadist, Simon the Zealot. But these were the people that Jesus chose, along with the others of the 12, and of course, let's not forget the women in their very important support role to his ministry as he traveled around Galilee and finally up to Jerusalem. He chose ordinary men and women. He didn't use the procedures that we would have to use today, looking for the people best qualified. Normally for jobs like this, you would want people who are well qualified or have the relevant experience, but he wasn't doing anything like that. This is something against the normal procedures, and it actually follows from what happened to him in the wilderness, where he was faced with the opportunity, a very real one for him. He was gifted, talented, it would have been possible. He could have gone down the road of coercion, self-publicity, all these temptations that the devil threw at him in the wilderness. They weren't empty possibilities. It was really possible for him to do this. But he rejected all that. He chose the way of self-sacrificing love, and he chose to work with ordinary people. And the result is that these ordinary people succeeded, and we can prove that because we're here today. We wouldn't be here without them. And it follows from that it's now down to us, because it's our turn now. Jesus gave his message to the disciples and told them to go everywhere spreading the good news, and now it's for us. And this is why St. Paul calls us ambassadors for Christ. What's the role of an ambassador? An ambassador is someone who represents their country in a foreign land. And we've been called to represent God in a foreign land. The world, where we are, that doesn't know him. But doesn't understand yet the good news about Jesus Christ. We are God's representatives in the world. An ambassador in post is continually aware that they represent their home country. When you're in a foreign land representing Great Britain or the country of your birth, everything that you do or say reflects on your home country. You can't just stop being an ambassador. And this is what's happening to us. We are actually exposed. And you will find this happening, you've probably found it already, maybe in your work situations or among your friends and neighbours, and quite likely in your own families if you have family members who aren't believers. And obviously this is the most difficult situation. We are called to represent God and Christ wherever we are. And we are exposed, as Jesus said, your lights. And you don't put a light at the bottom of the house under the bed or anything like that. You put it right on the lampstand. And we bring light to wherever we are. And this can take some getting used to, especially in work situations when it becomes known that you're a Christian. It excites usually a bit of interest among your colleagues, especially those who don't know what being a Christian is like. Occasionally you flash out some really good allies who are also Christians. You may get a little bit of opposition. You may get quite a lot of opposition. But you'll certainly at least get a certain amount of interest. Do you really believe all that stuff? What's it like? What's happening? And you are called to be a light in this situation. It can take some getting used to. You have to remember that you are there. You represent him in what you're doing. And this was once brought home to me in one of the many situations where I've found my Christian faith has been noticed at work. In this situation, I just happened to make a silly remark, and one of my colleagues, who is a devout atheist, pulled me up. He said, "Chris, that's not a very Christian thing to say." And I thought, and I said, "You're right, Richard, I repent." He roared with laughter. But even in a silly situation like that, something of a message comes across. And the point is, we're representing him. And as St. Paul says, we have this priceless treasure in clay pots. A message can come across. So that's our role as ambassadors, representing the king. An ambassador of this nation represents Queen Elizabeth II. We represent our King Jesus. And we have this priceless treasure. We have this priceless treasure in clay pots. The message with which we've been encharged is an attractive one. And this will interest people that we come into contact with. The message is reconciliation, peace with God. As St. Paul says, all this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself and not counting people's sins against them. And for those who don't know Christ, this is both startling and counterintuitive. Because you can find endless books, podcasts online, stuff about living the ideal life, being the ideal you, success in business, success in relationships and all the rest of it. Some of it's even quite helpful, but it's not what we're about. We are about the message from God. All this is from God. To him, because of what Christ has done for us on the cross, we go with everything we are. All our failures, all the problems we've had, everything that has happened in our lives, we come to him, we offer all this to him, and we receive from him forgiveness, reconciliation with God, and a new life to live in his name and for his glory. It's something completely new. As St. Paul says, it's a new creation, an entirely new situation, an entirely new way of being human. And I can remember wrestling with this as I was growing up, because as a young man, if you're doing fairly well, you're quite pleased with how things are going. But then there's this business of, well, what does God want me to do with my life? And in a way, that was a bit of a nuisance, because I had my own ideas of the things I wanted to do. But eventually I cracked and I gave in and I said, right, I give it to you, Lord. I want to do it your way. And I found to my joy, a relief, and peace that his ideas were so much better. They were a lot scarier than the ones I chose, but so much better. It's a new way of living, a new creation, starting the new world that God wants to bring in among us through Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God breaks out among us. Once there was a Japanese Christian lady who brought this home to me by saying that she'd been brought up as a Buddhist. She knew all about ultimate reality. It was all very sort of abstract and kind of extreme and austere. And then she said, when I came to know Christ, I discovered that this eternal reality was interested in me. And it was such a shock, but very wonderful. It's an attractive message that we have. We also, as his ambassadors, carry his authority. Ambassadors are accredited. An ambassador will carry letters signed by the head of state, in our case, Queen Elizabeth II, or her representative, appointing them as ambassador to the foreign nation. And the letters are addressed to the head of that nation, saying that they must treat the ambassador as a representative of the home nation, and that what they do and say is to be treated as coming from our government and our sovereign. So the ambassador has authority to act on behalf of their home nation. The Christian Church does something very similar. We appoint accredited representatives with our ordained ministers, and also we appoint people to particular positions, and usually we pray for them and lay hands on them when we're appointing people to particular tasks. But as Christians, as individual Christians, we are all called to be his ambassadors, and we all carry his authority by virtue of our own declaration of faith, our baptism, which marks us as a Christian. You can't be unbaptized. Once you've done that, there's no going back. You're baptized as his representative. And we are sealed, as St. Paul says, with his Holy Spirit. And this is the wonderful message of God's presence in our lives. And therefore, we carry his authority. We're entitled to, we have to act for him in any situations to which he has called us. We can pray with his authority and expect things to happen. Not always what we expect, but something happens when we pray. And even just by being in a particular situation, we can have an effect. We can change the atmosphere. Particularly if we are aware of our role as Christians in that situation. The American pastor John Wimber, who introduced so many of us to the work of the Holy Spirit, I once heard him remark when he was preaching about spiritual warfare, just by walking with God, you can do the devil a lot of damage in any given 24-hour period. Just being a Christian. You're a threat. As I said, we're exposed. People notice. And you can expect a hostile reaction, sometimes a surprising one. Some of the things our spiritual enemy does seem so stupid, but so sort of malicious. But with Jesus, you can crush that and reach out to people around you. We have his authority. As Jesus said, in the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I am with you to the very end of the age. So there we are. We have our role as ambassadors representing him, exposed, whether we like it or not. We have the attractive message, the wonderful news of this new creation, a new way of being human, forgiveness of sins, a new start, a new life. And we have his authority as his ambassadors. A couple of practical points to finish. I find that opportunities can pop up so quickly and I may not be ready for them. That's one thing, is to learn to be alert. I feel I'm still learning. How old am I? I've been learning all my life. I still haven't cracked it yet. But you have to jump in when it happens. Someone makes a casual remark and you think, oh, I wish I'd said such and such. Well, why not just say it and hope for the best? And then, you know, if you just get into the conversation, what you jump in with may not be very sensible, but you follow that up with something from God. He said, Jesus said, I will give you the words when you're up against it in any particular situation. Open your mouth. And Jesus' apostles prayed for this boldness of speech. We can pray for that. And these are things which we'd love to pray with you about if you'd like to come forward for prayer later on. Boldness of speech, you can pray for it, and we'd love to pray with you for boldness of speech. It was the key from the Holy Spirit. The apostles just stood up and spoke the message at the very beginning of the church. You may feel you don't have many opportunities. You can pray for opportunities, but each one of us has the Christian faith's long-range weapon, which is intercessory prayer. You can pray all around the world and back again. And we do. I know many of you do that. It's good. We can reach out. And we never know what effect we're having some of the time. Just occasionally you hear about it. We've also talked about the message of reconciliation. Being reconciled to God, there is also a great work for Christians to do, reconciling people. And you may be facing a situation where reconciliation is what you need, and it may be very difficult to know exactly what you have to do. We can pray about this, and we can pray with you about that. And finally, there's the whole question of peace with God. You may be new to this whole business of being a Christian, and you haven't quite committed yourself yet. And we would love you. This is our message as a church. We would love you to know peace with God. And as Paul says, I beseech you, be reconciled. This is our message. Come to God. Don't miss the opportunity. It's a wonderful new start and a new life. Be reconciled to God in Jesus' name. Amen.